Ashton Agar. I just thought, gee, that's a pretty good catch. I was like pretty excited.
The Inside. We had a few people trying to find more out about us and about Ash.
You were like Princess Kate.
Inside the Furnace.
Yeah! Yeah!
Scorchers Podcast.
Well, welcome to episode 4 of Inside the Furnace. It's a new year for the Perth Scorchers. We're very excited. Lockie Reed and Jess Kylie. Jess,
g'day, Lockie.
We start with a guy that's already played for Australia.
He's a bit of a superstar. He's a big hitter and a great fielder. Hilton Cartwright and his fabulous girlfriend Tamika, and of course lots of chat about their very cute puppy. So let's get started. Hilton, born in Zimbabwe. Tell us about that.
Born and bred in Zimbabwe up till I was about 11. Grew up playing cricket, rugby, a lot of rugby over there, swimming. For me, a lot of people say, oh, it must have been a horrible time for you and your family. For me personally, it wasn't, because I don't remember too much of all the political uproar and everything that happened. But I think for my parents especially, had a pretty rough time with, and my cousins as well, my auntie and uncle, they all sort of went through that tough period of what was happening in the government and all the farmers losing their farms. And for me, I remember Zimbabwe as this picture perfect place, you know, no potholes, clean streets, and I've seen photos. My grandparents still live in Harare.
Have you ever been back?
No, I've never been back. So I've seen a lot of photos of the road outside my grandma's house, and I remember it being this pristine, clean road in a nice area. And she sent a photo just before Christmas about when we left the country, and when we had the removal truck out the front, there was just like patched up potholes all the way along. So my memory is, I almost don't want to go back just for that reason, remembering everything so clean and nice and almost like what it is here, I guess. I do want to go back eventually and experience all the agriculture and the game farming and the things you can see and what you can do over there would be incredible, but I'm not sure I'm quite there yet.
You'd like to play cricket there, would you?
Maybe not for Zimbabwe.
They're not quite as elite.
But I definitely do want to go there. And I used to play golf out the back of the sports club there with my grandma. So it'd be good to go back there and see where I used to watch cricket. I watched Hayden and JL a bit when they toured there once. So it'd be good to see what the ground's like now compared to what I remember it as.
Can I ask you, I mean, you've got a British passport, so you could play for England, you could play Zimbabwe, and you can play for Australia. Mate, if I was a cricketer, I'd be going for England or Zimbabwe. It'd be easy to get in the team. You'd be captain.
Yeah, I think I like the lifestyle in Australia the most, I think. I couldn't handle the weather in England as much, and I probably couldn't hack the standard of cricket, I guess, in Zimbabwe.
Fair enough. Tamika, are you interested in going back to where maybe he started?
I'd love to go to South Africa, yeah.
Yep.
I think it was never really on my cards. Like, I didn't know anything about Zimbabwe before I met Hilton, like the political side of things. I feel like Australia kind of hides that from us.
Yep.
Like, it's not really in the news or anything. So, Zimbabwe, I think, same as Hilton, like, not quite ready for that because I just have no idea what to expect. So I think once I go to South Africa, I kind of get my bearings a little bit and then maybe. But I think his grandparents are very keen for us to go back.
Have they come across here? Like, that's a long time if you haven't seen them.
My dad's grandma, she now lives in Johannesburg. She's over at the moment. And they generally come over every 1 to 2 years. So we've seen them quite a bit. For me now, I don't see them quite as much because they usually come over the festive season. And for me, that's like my busiest time of year with going interstate and all sorts of bits and pieces. So my grandma's been here for probably the best part of 2 months now. I'd usually see her just about every day, whereas now I've probably only seen her a dozen times. So that's a little bit disappointing that I don't get to see her, but I guess
does she come to the Scorchers matches?
Yeah.
She went to
every day of the Test match.
She's a cricket fanatic.
She's been to the Hopman Cup. She's just a sports fanatic. She loves going and just sitting there. Even if it's 45 degrees, she'll sit there and just watch the cricket all day. It doesn't matter win, lose or draw. She just likes watching sport.
What's grandma's name?
Granny Roz.
Granny Rolls.
Yeah.
Does Granny Rolls give Hilton any feedback on his cricketing skills?
Well, she hasn't had much opportunity. I think she's watched me play 3 times and I've got 2 ducks. So she hasn't had much opportunity.
So not your lucky charm then.
Yeah.
All right. So fast forward quite a few years and you came here to Perth and you met a beautiful country girl from Katanning as she just moved into the city. Do you want to talk to us about how you met Tamika?
Well, she doesn't remember it too well, which makes me a bit worried because I obviously didn't have that good of a first impression. But I was just at a mate's house. We were playing a bit of kitchen cricket in their front lounge. He knew Tamika's friend. I think he might have known Tamika as well. And
yeah,
they just,
he was from Katanning as well.
They had like a barbecue or something beforehand and just dropped off on the way through. And I saw she was sitting over in the corner of the couch. One of my mates was just throwing cashews at her. So I thought, oh, no, I've got to, like, get involved
here. I can
here.
Do better than that.
Yeah. So I, like, went and sat in between them and then, like, struck up a conversation with her.
Do some of the overarm...
Cut lunch. Thing might have been something.
Are you a cashews fan, Tamika?
Oh, I do like cashews, but this is pretty annoying.
But she doesn't really remember it, so I'm like, oh, I thought
I
struck
didn't
gold.
Talk to me. Like, we were talking about it the other day. I was like, no, I don't remember having a conversation with you. He was like, no, we definitely spoke.
This was like Hilton's most amazing first conversation. You're like, I don't remember it.
Usually I just sort of eye out in the shadows and hopefully they come speaking. But I just grabbed it by the horns and didn't really pan out that – or panned out well now, but at the time, she didn't really recall it that well.
A lot of work had to go into the relationship, obviously, early on.
Now, you've mentioned before, Tamika, you're from Katanning, so a good country girl. Hilts, how does he go out in the country?
I don't think he's that good.
Short straw.
Because obviously he grew up on a farm. Yeah. So when my dad and my brother first met him, they were like, oh, he's a city slicker. I was like, no, like, he's fine. He did grow up on a farm.
He's
like,
fine.
He'll be okay. But then, I don't know, just little things that you assume that people know that, like, growing up in the country, like, my brother, like, the knowledge of just, like, everything. Like, even, like, when we go to Bunnings, like, I'll be like, oh, I need this for this job. And then Hilton will be like, I don't know what that is.
Oh, not a handyman. Not a Bunnings man.
In my defence, I moved off the farm when I was 11.
I was on a farm.
Tobacco farm. And then when we went out and sort of met her parents for the first time, I was down in Bremer Bay. So it was a much different environment as a country folk than what I was used to.
Like, lots of fishing, lots of four-wheel driving.
Yeah. Well, Hilt, you were telling me just before Chrissy that you're going to go motorbike riding, that you're really good on the motorbikes and stuff. But Tamika didn't quite agree with that when I put it to her.
I'm not surprised.
I must say, Hilton William Raymond Cartwright is not really a country name, is it?
No, it's a very English old school name, I think, from what my parents have told me. I think Hilton comes from an old hunter and, William Raymond Cartwright is a very popular English names.
Can I ask a corny question? Is that right?
Will you love a corny
I've got
question?
To have a
Get
corny.
Into it.
Have you ever stayed at a Hilton and signed your name, Hilton?
I think when I was a kid, I had this sort of great thought that I would be able to walk into a Hilton hotel and just be like, Hilton.
Yeah.
Let's be serious.
I own the place.
When I was young, but I look back on it now going, you naive idiot.
Inside the Furnace. The Perth Scorchers Podcast.
Now, can I just change tack very quickly, Tamika, because I was watching another TV station a little while ago and the host...
That must not be named, is that what...
Well, no, it's Fox Sports, so okay. I can...
We don't mind
it. Yeah, it's this. The host was throwing to Hilton Cartwright to have a bit of a chat about the upcoming summer. And they went live to Hilton, who was on camera at the Wacker, doing something, what do you call it, a boomerang?
Yeah.
Is that what you call it?
He's just bobbing up and down, wasn't he? It was now, really weird.
I'm told that your media manager put you up to that and embarrassed the crap out of you.
And we're joined by Australian all-rounder Hilton Cartwright live from Perth. Hilton, thanks so much for joining us here on Fox Sports. Now, Hilton, fresh off your test debut you made for in the ODI against India. Describe the experience. I think we're having some technical issues there with Hilton Cartwright there. He's playing up, I think, in Perth at the Wacker. Apologies to Hilton Cartwright there. I'm sure he'll love seeing that vision back when he gets across that later on this afternoon.
It was a classic stitch up. That's what it was.
So, and we hadn't had much ado with each other by then.
Second time I'd met Jess and she came up to me. She was like, oh, I'm just going to get a boomerang. Just like do something for me. So I just naturally standing there. I was like, I'll just bop. And then And she was like, oh, I missed the girl again. So then I went again. And
I was genuinely kept missing it.
It would have looked good as a boomerang.
It was a great boomerang.
And then we kept going, and then eventually we got it. And then afterwards, we're like, oh, how funny would that be if they went live and we had no idea? And then anyway, the phone in my pocket that was the live feed started ringing. I was like, oh, that's weird. I thought I was on, like, already on the phone. So I was like, hey, man. He was like, oh, we crossed to you, but you were squatting or something. What's going on? And I was like, you are kidding.
I reckon Jess just hooked it up. Just like, we're going to do this. No. Just throw to it. You try it. Nah, that's terrible. That's not what media managers are all about.
Well, don't worry. He's working very hard to get me back because he's found out that I am paranoid about lizards.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this.
So the whole squad have gone out and bought a fake lizard and they're trying to, like, put it all around.
Have they got you yet?
There was a moment that they had it in the business lounge at Qantas the other day, but I was too focused on my work and I just... Mini Mel Dumba didn't squeal. Normally I squeal. So.
When it was revealed to the group about Jess's fear...
It wasn't revealed to the group. I told Joel Paris in confidence.
Yeah, and so Joel Paris exploited that secrecy. I think we were leaving, going to the airport from Melbourne, and she was sitting on this sort of square couch doing some work on a laptop, and Joel walked up behind her and said, Jess, I don't want to alarm you, but there's a lizard behind you. And I thought a laptop was going to fly across the room because she, like, jumped up and caught it midair and then grabbed her bag in the same motion. And she was like, oh, Joel, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you did that. It was, it was
so
hilarious.
So don't worry, he's getting me back for the boomerang. It's all coming round.
This is Scorchers Country. So be a part of all the action on and off the field. Become a Perth Scorchers member today. Visit membership.perthscorchers.com.au.
Tomeka, let's get serious because you guys have a dog.
Yes.
That I'm told is like a child.
The cutest dog in the world.
Yeah, tell us a bit about the dog. A border collie?
Yeah, border collie, Coda. He is currently a conehead because he got castrated on Tuesday.
Last week.
Yeah. I got the snip, so he's a little bit sad this week. So, but we got him. Where were you?
I was in Bangladesh.
Bangladesh, yeah. So I had him for 7 weeks by myself. That was fun. Toilet training was really hard, like, because, like, we're crate training him. I had to wake up all the time. I really like my sleep. Basically told me I was not ready for a child because I couldn't handle the dog.
Confirmed.
But no, he's awesome. I love him. Like, he's definitely, I thought he'd be my, like, I'd be his favourite because I had him for 7 weeks. I trained him. And then
you were the one that wanted him
more. Yeah, I convinced Hilton for like 3 years to like finally let me have this dog. And now Hilton's like that fun parent that comes home and like plays with him. And so like I'm the obedience sort of training and then Hilton's just like, Coda,
good cop, bad cop sort of situation.
Yeah,
but it's almost when we want Coda to do something like go outside, she'll yell, go outside, and he'll walk out. And I'm like, Coda, outside. And he just like sits there and like wags his tail like, what game are we going to play next?
Tell us about toilet training because I'm told from a source inside these Scorchers that that was quite entertaining and it was pretty tough for you.
Growing up in Katanning, our dog was always outside. So I was like, nah, Coda's going to sleep outside. But obviously the first night I had him, I tried to sleep him in the laundry straight away and he was just whining and whining. And I was like, I'll just sleep in the bedroom for like this night. And then I was like sending Hilton heaps of videos and Hilton was like, oh, go hug him. And I was like, no, you're not meant to touch them. Like, it's fine. Just
strict
ignore.
Parent, yep.
And then I was, getting up every 2 hours. But the thing I struggled with most is that, like, when I went to cook dinner and stuff, I couldn't just let Coda walk around because he would just wee everywhere. So I was trying to, like, cook dinner, watch what I was cooking, watch the dog, and then, like, just stuff everywhere. But he'd only had a few accidents inside.
Just kept weeing around the place.
Yeah, and then, like, he just picked his favourite spots of the house and just kept weeing. But lucky we have floorboards, so it was easy to clean.
Easy to clean.
Yeah.
Inside the Furnace. The Perth Scorchers podcast.
A bit of a segue from your dog. I was chatting to a source and who
lots
must not
sources.
Be named.
Yeah, we're... It's about 11 or 12, isn't it? So it's Scorchers.
That, Hiltz, you might not be posting enough social media your beloved girlfriend and that you might be posting more of your beloved puppy than your girlfriend. Is this an issue?
I didn't think it was. But yeah, I did make a comment. I'm pretty poor on social media about posting events. I'll say I'll post something and I get a photo up and I'm like, oh, I'll just do it tomorrow. And then next thing you know, I just completely forget about it. So I went through a phase of, we had like a few events and I just kept putting photos up of either Coda or like things to do with cricket and just sort of left her in the dark.
Oh, yeah.
And I honestly didn't notice. And then she brought it up and I was like, oh, no, I'm pretty sure I put one up of you not that long ago. And the last one was our...
We went back like a year.
It was like Laurie Sewell medal, which was in end of March, early April. Yeah. And this was about a month and a half ago. And I was like, oh, gee, I've got to pull my finger out of here.
It was a while ago. And you didn't even want the dog. That's the thing.
Yeah. He was like, no, we're never getting a dog, like, not ready. And then 6 months before we got Coda, like, a switch just flicked. And he was like, no, we need to get it right now. And I was like, but you're away. Like, I'm going to have it by myself. It doesn't matter. We'll just get it. Okay.
Okay, then. It was a good decision.
Yeah, it was a good
decision. Now, you just mentioned something there before. Tamika, what is Hilton's worst habit?
When I first met him, it was definitely his forgetfulness. Like, his memory is shocking. But I will say he has improved. Still pretty bad, though. And then recently his hay fever is pretty bad and he's a massive snorer.
Snorer.
A serial snorer.
Are you the worst person to room with then on tour? Do they all try and avoid being with you?
I've never had any comments, so maybe that's a bad thing. But I've roomed with a few people. I think Big Mitch Marsh, he's a serial snorer. But I'm not sure you can hear other blokes because you got your own room and then they're usually on the other side of the room. So I think you get away with it.
So Paul Tamika has to deal with it.
Yeah. I get a couple of knocking him every kick
to the guts.
Do you ever get kicked out of the room? Because I must say last night I was booted out into the kids' room. Yeah.
So the little one...
He was taken out of his room and I went in there and he went to mum's room. So have you ever kicked him out? Because that
Once.
Because whenever I'm on my back, I'm at my worst. Yep. And I just kept rolling over and then she would nudge me and I'd still be asleep and unconscious. So I'd stop snoring, roll over a little bit and then just subconsciously roll back onto my back and I'd start again. She was like, nah. Get out. Yeah. That's it.
Inside the furnace, it's the sound of the Scorchers. Want the look too? Check out the awesome merch at perthscorchers.com.au.
Now, you mentioned Mitch Marsh and Lockie and I were talking about a few different cricketing sort of things with you and Mitch Marsh sort of came up a fair bit. So you've had a fair bit of kind of similar careers and you compete a lot for the same position and you compete a lot for a lot of different things. In fact, I've been told that you're currently competing for who's got the biggest head in the team.
I'd like to expand that horizon, go biggest head and biggest neck. I cop a lot of flack for having a big neck and I'm no doubt I've got a big neck, but Mitch gets away with his big neck because his head is so big.
Right, so you're going to say that Mitch Marsh has got a bigger head and neck?
I'm happy to measure our necks, but he doesn't want to measure them because I reckon he subconsciously knows.
There you go.
He's as bigger.
So it's the size of the head, it's not your ego.
size of your head.
Right. Go back to school. You went to school with Mitch as well at Wesley?
Yeah, so I went to my parents knew of Jeff and Michelle from I'm not actually too sure how they knew each other. So I knew growing up with Mitch quite a bit sort of through Wesley and then I played pretty much all my junior days through Wesley with Mitch. A lot of people say there's like competition for spots. It's funny. I think a lot of people see it that way, but I just feel like if I'm in a team and I'm playing with Mitch, I don't see our spot as the same.
Yep.
I just see as me playing alongside him as another cricket game like I have for the last 10 or so years. So I love playing with him. He's such a relaxed guy, such a chilled out guy. And even when there's tense scenarios, he always makes it feel like it's just, you know, another walk in the park and makes you feel really comfortable in really uncomfortable situations.
You talk about the competition. I think you made your Scorchers debut because he got injured back about 5 or 6 years ago. And then there's been obviously the test battle for that all-rounder spot. What were your emotions when he got chosen for this Ashes campaign and when he scored 100?
I probably can speak on behalf of all Western Warriors and saying how happy, because, I mean, seeing him last year and being dropped from the test side and having a shoulder issue for quite a while we all knew that he was battling quite a bit and he was sort of struggling for form, and he was playing with us for quite a bit last year. And then to see him in the JLT Cup and make 100 there and actually put a lot of runs on the board early on in the season, you could see his attitude shift and his
demeanor.
Yeah, his demeanor, like, change how happy he was playing cricket. I think he might have lost that a little bit. It's always hard if you're struggling for form to really enjoy your cricket and find the love of it. But this year he's really found it, and I could not be happier to see him go up to that level and show the form that he's showed in domestic cricket on the international stage.
Inside the Furnace. This is the Perth Scorchers podcast.
What about you, Tomoka? Do you get involved with the girls?
Yeah, like, I'm really good friends with some of them. AJ Ty's girlfriend I actually went to school with.
Right.
At St. Mary's. So I've known her since I was...
Bonnie.
Yeah, 14, 15. And then Hilton and Ash Agar debuted together. So I feel like I've gone through the whole thing with Maddie, which is really
friends
nice.
Friends of the podcast.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really good friends with her. And, like, they're just all, like, really lovely people. I remember, because I think... How old was I when you first went into Scorchers stuff?
19.
Yeah, so, like, going in there, like, super intimidating as, like, this little 19-year-old. But they were all so welcoming. They're all really lovely, really easy to get along with, down-to-earth people.
When he got named in the test team, which is the ultimate for every cricketer, what were your emotions and what did you feel, and how was that period? Well, it was just before the Boxing Day test.
Yeah, just before Christmas. Not the phone call I was expecting to get, because he was at training. And so I saw him calling on my phone and I was like, oh, that's weird.
And, like, knowing how forgetful he is.
Yeah, so I was like, oh.
Your first thought was not.
I was like, oh, I'm going to have to go to Murdoch and, like, start work in a minute, and he's going, I'm going to have to drop something. So I, like, answered. I was like, hello. And he was
forgotten,
like, oh.
His box.
Yeah, probably. And so I answered and he was like, oh, hey, like, just have to quickly call you. I'm about to start training, but, like, I just got selected in the test team. And I was kind of like, what?
Like, shows a lot of faith.
Confidence.
Yeah. What do you mean? And he was like, oh, like, I got selected for the Australian team. And I was like, so, like, when is it? And he was like, oh, like, I'd have to leave tomorrow. And I was like, oh my god, like, what the hell? I did, like, it's, you're kind of speechless. It's not something that was ever, oh, I don't think it was in your mind that you were going to get selected. So it definitely wasn't in mine. I just thought that we were going to have, you know, nice Christmas in Katanning, and so I had all these plans. And then, yeah, but it was awesome. Good change.
And you went across straight away?
Because
so you spent Christmas over there leading into the Boxing Day test.
And same sort of thing, like, very nervous when, like, we went in as...
The newbies.
Yeah, the new people and, like, the young guys of the team. But same sort of thing, like, Danny Willis was amazing, like, sent me a message, like, as soon as we got there.
That's Steve Smith's
Smith's fiancé. And they're all... Yeah, really nice girls.
And then, now, you didn't play in Melbourne, but then you followed him to Sydney.
Yeah, we had a conversation of me going back home. I was like, oh, like, do you think you'll play? And he was like, I don't know. And I was like, I feel like I should go see my family because, like, I don't see them that often. And I was like, nope, I'll stay, like, just in case. And then, yeah, so lucky I did.
And what was your emotions when you saw him walking out there at the SCG?
I've never been so nervous in my life.
Again, like, confident.
Like, I was with one of our, like, good friends was over there as well. So I was with him and his girlfriend, and then my mum flew over as well, and then your grandparents from Zimbabwe were over. So we were all there, like, in our little area. And, yeah, everyone was so nervous. But it was such a weird feeling in the sense that you were nervous for someone else and you couldn't control that. I had no idea what Hilton was going to do. But you just, like, you want them to do so well. And I think that's why you're nervous. It's not about having confidence in his ability. It was just, like, a hope that you're going to do amazing because you just want the best for them.
And how were you feeling?
I was actually feeling... I was glad that we batted through the whole first day because my grandparents could only arrive morning of day two.
Mm.
So Matt Renshaw, I think he made like 180 odd. So for me, that was perfect. I got the whole day. I was as nervous as I was sitting there with my pads on for about 2.5 hours, it was good to be able to go to bed that night, like, knowing that we're going to be batting the next day, that I'll definitely bat. And then knowing that everyone that was coming was going to be there and they'll see me bet. Didn't have any pressure on, if I do bet, I've got to get through the next day. Mm. And then when
so
Matt,
were you thinking about all the people visiting you and watching you more than your own?
I was just so caught up in planning who was coming when, where they're going to sit, do I need to get them tickets, or was like Gav Dovey, the team manager, is he going to get the tickets to? I was like stressing out about all the logistics, and then once that was all like put down in place, knew what was going on, then I could sort of sit down and chill out a bit.
Good distraction, I guess.
Yeah, it was. And then when I went out there the following day, Matt Renshaw obviously got out and the crowd was all cheering him, and he was sort of absorbing as he should, making 180 for Australia.
And you just snuck out.
So I just sort of like weaseled my way out. And then basically by the time I got out in the middle, I think no one had really realised that I was batting and it was my debut, and they'd kind of like gone unspoken and no one really... So
Do you prefer that though?
I'd much prefer that than walking out, someone's just got out for like a duck or something, and it's like, oh, and on debut, Hilton Curra, and everyone's like, and then it just makes all the emotion really kick in a bit more. So I sort of got out there being able to do my own thing, feeling as though no one had noticed I'd walked out there, which I would much prefer than being announced that everyone's like all eyes on you right now. Even though they probably were still watching, it made me feel like they weren't.
Did you hit a four in your first ball?
Here he is, his first ball. Oh, he's away. Take that. You bowl me a half volley, you go to the boundary. There's a test match start for you.
First ball, yeah.
That probably paved the way to, because you were so relaxed.
Mm. Yeah, I think so. And I think it was a little bit of both. I was still quite nervous and I was sort of trying to control my breathing to like calm myself down. But I think if it was a little bit wider and a little bit shorter, I still would have poked my hands out at it, just out of pure nerves, I think. I was just lucky it was right in the slot.
Perth Scorchers memberships are now on sale for another action-packed season. Get in quick to secure the hottest seats at the Furnace. Visit membership.perthscorchers.com.au.
Do you remember a cover drive from Yunus Khan and where it ended up?
Yeah.
Can you tell us where it ended up?
I don't remember seeing it, but I remember feeling, that's for sure. I still get a lot of friends, even from over in the UK, that it pops up in their Facebook feed and they keep tagging me in it saying, oh, I hope you've recovered, and it's a year later.
My mum was very worried.
Yeah, it was...
It went the kids.
For those who haven't seen it.
Yeah, so I was fielding it. Nathan Lyon was bowling. Yep. And I think he kept bowling too short, and someone said to him, like, oh, keep pitching it up, Gazza. And I was sitting there under the lid right in front of Yunus Khan. He's on about 150, thinking, like, don't pitch one up outside off, please, or I'm like going to be nowhere near it. Anyway, it was a half volley outside off stump, and he's just crunched it straight out the middle, straight into my midriff.
Oh, yow. Yow. That was well hit, and that just took the full impact just where you don't want it. Take a short break. 3 for 165.
And it was I still, whenever I go under the lid for WA or whoever it is, I still have that slow fear. And I used to just stand there and like, oh, hope for the best, it won't hit
close
me. Whereas now I like close my legs, tuck my hands in, tuck my head.
Do you wear a box? You have to wear a
box. Oh, yeah. Jeez.
Even with the box, it was going at that pace.
Yeah, it's still, I mean, you get hit by a spinner in the box of the nets, it still stings for a good 5 minutes. Yeah.
You don't know the pain, Jess. No.
It's a painful
experience.
I always think it's a bit of a fake pain. I feel like they just,
This is Scorchers Country. So be a part of all the action on and off the field. Become a Perth Scorchers member today. Visit membership.perthscorchers.com.au.
We put out a bit of a call last night to people on social media, our Scorchers fans, and we've got a lot of response. So here's a couple of questions from the crowd. So Suzanne says, who is your favourite teammate in the Scorchers lineup?
I'd have to say Ash Agar. I'll probably get along with him the most. I mean, he's with the Warriors as well. I debuted with him with the Warriors. We've just got a lot in common. So I'd probably have to say I catch up with him probably the most outside of cricket than most of the other guys.
Talking Ash Agar, we asked him if you could be another teammate in the Scorchers team for a game. Oh, who would it be?
Jeez.
He picked, I think he went Coults, didn't he? He wanted to bowl some real fast ones.
Yeah. I'd have to go Coults or Mitch, just because Mitch hits, he could probably hit one over the Prindleville stand at the Wacker.
Yep.
But it's always a good feeling when you can run in and bowl rockets like Mitch Johnson or Coults. And especially coming from me when I bowl about 120 little doobly-dobblers. to know that you can like pitch one up and it doesn't get crunched before you can pitch one up and they'll probably nick it.
Nice. And from Molly, who's had the biggest influence on your career?
Ooh, probably a bit of a toss-up. JL probably had the most, he's probably had the most influence on my career, but an old coach for South Perth, Lorne Sprigg. I went through a phase. I went to the UK, had like a bit of fun over there playing club cricket, and then I came back and I just could not hit one off the square, and I was probably about one game away from just throwing the towel in and not playing cricket anymore.
Really?
I reckon I got about
How old were you?
I would have been 19.
Yeah.
I think I made 4 ducks in a row at one point and I was about to throw the towel in, and he threw a lifeline. He put me into the first grade team and he had no basis behind it. I'd made about 15 runs in 9 games, and then I made 80 odd and then made a few more runs, and by the end of that season I played my first game for second 11 WA. And that just really got my passion back for cricket. And if he wasn't there and didn't throw me that lifeline, I'm not sure I'd still be playing cricket now.
Wow.
But then, yeah. And then on the other side of things is JL's probably had the biggest influence on how I go about my cricket once I got into the state squad and how you go there to playing for Australia.
Very interesting. Stephen, did you ever want to play for Zimbabwe? We answered this before.
That was a big fat no.
I think if you asked me when I was 10, I would have thrown my hand up straight away, and I would, following sort of Heath Streak, Henry Alonga, I'd say I'd 100% be playing for Zimbabwe. But I think when I moved to Australia, you'd ask my mum, and my mind just flicked to a baggy green the moment we moved over here.
Inside the Furnace. The Perth Scorchers podcast.
Tell us about the Scorchers and game preps for both of you. I mean, on game day, is he different to Mika?
Doesn't want to do anything.
Right.
And
fair
claims
enough.
It's all for preparation. Yeah. Yeah.
I've got a game tonight, Tamika. Like, we can't go to the shops.
So. I can't do any cleaning.
We can't walk outside the house, apart from if it's with Coda. Yeah, so that's one thing that changes. And then that's all, really. He's pretty, like, cool, calm, collected. Just doesn't want
to
do anything.
Do you talk to him about the game or cricket, or do you...
I used to.
He's giggling quite a lot right now.
I used to not know, like, when to not ask. So when he was having that really tough time, that was when I first met him. So, like, we'd go out for dinner. I'd be like, oh, how'd cricket go? Like, because when I played netball, I was like, I'd want to talk about it. I'd want to vent. So I just assumed that everyone was like that.
Yeah, cricketers are quite particular about when to talk and not to talk. Yeah.
And he was always like, I don't want to talk about it. And then I would like pry and like keep poking.
After getting my third duck in a row, she's like, well, why? Why? I'm like, what's my choice?
But now I wait for him to talk to me.
Yeah.
I won't ask unless,
And you go along to the games, in particular the Scorchers games?
Yeah, love it. I've been, even when you were running drinks a few years ago, I was still going. Even my family loves it. Like, mum has membership. Like, it's good. I love them. Fun.
And you were telling me you've developed a bit of a superstition now with cricket, and particularly with this Scorchers squad. What's that?
It started this season. I'm not really sure why I did it, but I think the only reason I kept it was because we won the JLT Cup and we kept winning those games. And I just sort of thought, I'll just go on last and just go for it. And I think we won like 4 games in a row whilst I was doing it. And I was like, and then the one game I didn't do it, this is what really did me, was the game against South Australia, and we lost by 5 runs or something. And that was the one game when we went out to field, I just like walked on, just not really thinking about it.
So going on last and coming back
off last. Yes, sorry. Walking on the field, being the last player to walk on the field and, the last person to walk off.
Is the key for the WA side's winning.
So when we're watching a Scorchers game, if you don't walk on last, may as well turn it off.
Yeah, you may as well just go home.
All the puns are out there you go. But some of your teammates have picked up on this and are trying everything to not let it happen.
Yeah, Maxie Kling is probably the bloke who's arguably done it the most. He sort of stands directly behind me, so I sort of look around and go, no one, everyone else is on. And then as I go to walk on, I just see this little smile in the back. And it's Maxie sitting there like, oh, I almost got you this time, didn't I? And then you got Mitch Johnson as well. He knows I do it. And as I go to walk on after him, he sort of like shuffles back and tries to get me to go on before him, but it hasn't worked so far, so hopefully he doesn't.
Don't they want
to
win?
Apparently not.
Yeah. Hey, batting at number three. Is that, it's been a bit of a change for you and you getting up the order and getting amongst it?
Yeah, I think with, especially with Sean and Cam Bancroft away, they've been the sort of guys who I think they were going to go to, and Mitch as well. They're usually the guys that either open the batting or bat three. And for me, it's almost worked. I mean, Mitch has got the opportunity this series to sort of put his name up in the international scene. For me, it's given me an opportunity to have like a good crack at a lot of T20 cricket. I haven't played a lot consistently. I've played sort of bits and pieces for the last 4 or 5 years. Probably only played like 10 to 15 games, I think, for the Scorchers. And it's given me that opportunity to really work my game out and see what works for me and what doesn't. I think every other year, last year I thought I was getting it, and then I got called up to the test squad. So I had all that preparation, then it all got flipped on its head. So I'm really enjoying it at number three. I feel like I can play my natural game, and hopefully I keep getting the opportunity when Mitch and that come back and see how the dynamic works there.
And some pretty incredible fielding from you as well. I know JL talks a lot about fielding, but he rates you as one of the best fielders around, including one in the early rounds of this tournament, that one that's been replayed over and over again.
Yeah, just short, I reckon. Oh, no. What a great catch. Cartwright, he's dived forward. That's sensational.
Talk us through that moment.
Well, yeah, with my fielding, my hero when I was younger was Jonty Rhodes. So I've always just been like an avid... When I was younger, I wouldn't really practice my batting or bowling. I'd just be like out there just trying to take hangers in the pool or... I'm sure a lot of kids do it. Yeah, all I'd want to do is just take hangers. So for me, it's always been a big part of my game. And yeah, that catch... I just sort of moved back a couple of metres before that ball, thinking like, oh, I think Stoyne's going to try and take it on here. And I'm glad I didn't go any more than 2 metres or else I would look like a right idiot. And yeah, just he crunched and I sort of thought, oh, I'll get this on the bounce. And because he's such a strong bloke, it just kept going. I was like, oh, I might actually be able to catch this. And I just sort of threw the hands out and dove, and thankfully it stuck.
Inside the Furnace, this is the Perth Scorchers podcast.
Tamika, before we let you go, if you could get into his head in a game, if you only could hear your voice in a game, what would you be saying to him before he goes out to bat? Or is he standing at the crease, it's only your voice?
As such a cricket, you know, enthusiast.
Yeah. I know my stuff.
Aside from, you didn't clean your room today. Yeah. Something a bit different to that.
I'd maybe just say relax. I definitely wouldn't have said that a few years ago. But, yeah, like relax, play your own game, have fun. That's my thing this season. Like every time he goes to play a game, I'm like, have fun. Just go out there, play your game.
How would you describe him as a cricketer?
Ooh.
Tough one.
Yeah. I'd say like probably determined. Like he always puts in like 110%. Committed.
Are they unique beasts, cricketers, do you think?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
On that note, we'll finish it off. And thank you very much, Tamika and Hilton, for joining us inside the furnace.
Thanks
guys. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks for watching us and listening to us inside the furnace. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please give us 5 stars on iTunes. It helps. What are you doing?
I'm trying to do a star.
Right. The 5 stars on iTunes. It helps us.
Can't do 5 stars.
Okay. Recognise, get people out there and enjoying it. So subscribe to Inside the Furnace, the Scorchers podcast, and we'll see you next week.
Well, that stumps on another Perth Scorchers podcast. But stay up to date on all the latest on the Scorchers at perthscorchers.com.au.